Blog Talk Radio.
I just can't understand, for the life of me, what I see in you. Yet every time you talk of leaving me, I get so shook up, I don't know what to do. Oh, baby,
I guess you got your books in me.
And I talk like a bitch. And baby,
I just can't break free.
You know, baby, it's killing me. I'm a flaky. Or I wouldn't be here, baby. Every time I get behind your back, I tell my friends I'm leaving you. Oh.
And
when you question me about it, baby, I swear what they're saying just ain't true. No, no.
Oh,
yeah.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. This evening, I'm feeling a little, I don't know, I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and, let me tell you what happened. I'm always doing something crazy. I don't know if you guys know, but I wear a CPAP at night to help me, to keep me alive. And I hadn't worn it for a while, so I wore it the night before last, and it was just almost like I was sucking dust in my nose. When I woke up that morning, it was, oh, my God, I can't even describe how I felt. But I did have a doctor's appointment, and I told him about it. So I had to clean my CPAP machine. So anybody else out there wearing a CPAP machine and you don't wear it for a while, make sure you clean it because dust will collect in it, and it will make you sick. I was sneezing like crazy, and nose was just running like water. That's how bad it was. But today I'm feeling so much better, and better than I was feeling then, but I'm still a little, I don't know. And then my voice keeps coming and going, so if my voice goes, you know the deal. Other than that, everything's good. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. I'm going to bring my co-hosts in, and we're going to get this show on the road. Good evening, Rhea and Danny. How are you?
I'm fine this evening. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Just great.
Hi, Rhea.
Hi, Danny.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah, so how you young ladies been so far? This is hump day.
I've been humping. Say no, I'm just waiting. No, I'm doing good. I hope I'm not hoping. I'm just playing. But I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm. And Rhea, what about you? How's the weather out there? It was snowing out here a minute ago. I don't know if it still is because I haven't bothered to look back out the door.
Yeah, we're in like the high 30s. It's kind of comfortable to me.
Uh-huh.
But overall, I'm still floating from the last past few days, so I haven't come down yet.
Oh, because it was really nice. So what was going? Oh, you had a birthday.
Yes.
Oh, happy birthday again. You know.
Yeah, I had my first birthday party of my lifetime, and it was a surprise party. And it was
goodness! Wow.
Oh yeah.
So how did they keep you from not knowing what happened?
That's interesting. Okay, it's hard to keep things from me because I happen to be one of those people who can sense things, especially when things are not going right.
Right.
You know, that's an innate ability of mine. So there was a few times when things happened and I started to question them and I stopped myself from questioning them.
Uh-huh.
About 2 weeks before my birthday was Sunday.
Uh-huh.
About 2 weeks before my birthday, I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to let nothing get on my nerves, nothing upset me, nothing, you know, just shake what I was feeling at that moment.
Right.
And so I think part of my way of doing that was to not dwell on things because I think we've talked about this before. I have a habit of my mind won't shut down.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't really sleep like I should at night.
Right.
Well, I can't say that in these last 2 weeks. I look in the mirror. I said, Lord, the bags under my eyes are leaving. I said, wait. I mean, I get in the house, I cut the TV on, and I sit down. And next thing I wake up, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, I done been asleep all this time. And then I get up, take my shower, you know, and put on my pajamas that's coming right back off in a couple of hours, you know. Wasn't taking my medication on time because I was laying down and falling asleep. So I think I kind of relieved some things. Plus, I've been kind of somewhat fighting with my youngest child,
mm-hmm.
my youngest offspring because he ain't no child.
Uh-huh.
I had to get past that. And it's like, okay, man, go and do your thing, you know, because he won't answer calls, he don't talk, he don't, and at some point, what you gonna do?
There's
nothing you can do. And I think I had to make peace with that. And it was nice. It was really, really nice. And I'm glad that's probably what God prepared me for, because my second son left me standing out in the hallway and in front of my building waiting on him for 41 minutes. And I actually waited.
Wow.
Well, see, people were late arriving, so they were trying to give me the chance to get there. But I'm outside, and I'm waiting, and my daughter's daddy saying, "You don't know your mama. She's going to take her clothes off. Once she take her clothes off, it's done." And he's like, "Don't you got your key so I can get in?" She said, "You ain't going to be able to get in that house." Well, it was nice.
Wow. Well, that's nice. Where'd they have the party at?
That was the other thing. That same one is the one who picked the place, and it was at a lounge of a family friend's relative.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter, when he said where it was going to be at, my daughter looked at him and said, "How you going to get mama up in here? She don't go to places like this." And I don't.
Well, how'd they get you up in there?
It's because it was that particular son. He's a cheap ass. And now remember, he was supposed to be taking me out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
He said, "I need to run in here for a minute."
Uh-huh.
Then we parked the car all the way. I'm like, "What the hell are you parking all the way for?
He's
going to be longer than a minute." He said, "Come walk in there with me." Now remember, I done just said in my head, "He's going to be in there longer than a minute." And I'm like, "Oh, he's really going to be in there longer than a minute." I'm looking to see if there's a bus coming, because I'm getting ready to get on the bus and go. And so then I'm stopping, I look at him. And it dawned on me, I'm like, this cheap man, and I didn't say man, is going in here to get drinks so he don't have to buy no drinks at the restaurant. And I'm looking at him, and I start walking, and he noticed I start walking. He turned back, and he looked at me. And whatever look I had on my face, it threw him. And I'm looking at him, and in my mind, I'm like, I be damned. And I'm like, "Rhea, just do it. Just be great. Just shut up and do it." And
right.
I'm talking to myself. So I walk in. He had to walk in first because he was the signal that I was behind him.
Right.
And right as he passed this particular point, they jumped up and said, "Surprise!" And I walked. And I.
Wow, that is so nice. So you're 50 years old now, right?
I'm about done.
Wow.
So, yeah, they got me.
Wow. Well, it's always good when someone, you know, thinking about you like that, because I gave myself my 50th birthday party. And,
That was my 50th, too.
Right, I gave myself. I said, I think I'm gonna have a big bash when I turn 65 as well, because I rented a party room and had a photographer there, a DJ there, and it was really nice food, and you know. So I think when I turn 65, I'm gonna have something going on too.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, and I expect y'all to come down to it.
No problem. Just let me know. Come party.
Yeah,
because
you
party.
Got, let me see, I'm 63, so you got 2 years to get your money together to get down, however you're going to get down here.
See,
and, save it up. Okay, so we're going to get right into the show. Tonight's show is about Valentine's Day, and you know a lot of people are either breaking up before Valentine's Day or going to break up on Valentine's Day. But I'm going to read the origins of Valentine's Day. I found this on the Internet, and it was very interesting to me. Okay. Valentine's Day is a time to celebrate romance and love and kissy face. But the origins of this festival of candy cupids are actually dark, bloody, and a bit muddied. Though no one has pinpointed the exact origin of the holiday, one good place to start is ancient Rome, where men hit on women by, well, hitting them. From February 13th to the 15th, the Romans celebrated the feast of Lupercalli. The men sacrificed a goat and a dog, then whipped the women with the hides of the animals they just slayed. The Roman romantics were drunk, they were naked, says Noah Litsky, a historian at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Young women would actually line up for the men to hit them, Litsky says. They believed this would make them fertile. The brutal fiat included a matchmaking lottery in which young men drew the names of women from a jar. The couple would then be coupled up for the duration of the festival or longer if the match was right. The ancient Romans may also be responsible for the name of our modern day of love. Emperor Calidius II executed two men, both named Valentine, on February the 14th of different years in the 3rd century A.D. Their martyrdom was honored by the Catholic Church, which is the celebration of St. Valentine's Day. Later, Pope Galatius I muddled things in the 5th century by combining St. Valentine's Day with Luper to expel the pagan rituals. But the festival was more of a theatrical interpretation of what it had once been. Lakiski adds, it was a little more of a drunken revel, but the Christians put clothes back on it. They didn't stop it from being a day of fertility and love. Around the same time, the Normans celebrated Galatians Day. Galatians means lover of women. That was likely confused with St. Valentine's Day at the same point, in part because they sound alike. Shakespeare in Love. As the years went on, the holiday grew sweeter. Chaucer and Shakespeare romanticized in their work, and it gained popularity throughout Britain and the rest of Europe. Handmade paper cards became the tokens du jour in the Middle Ages. Eventually, the tradition made its way to the New World. The Industrial Revolution occurred as factory-made cards in the 19th century, and in 1913, Hallmark cards of Kansas City, Missouri, began mass production Valentine's. February has not been the same since. Today, the holiday is big business, according to the market research firm IBIS World. Valentine's Day sales reach, check this out, $17.6 billion last year. This year's sales are expected to total $18.6 billion. But that commercializes has spoiled the day for many. Helen Fisher, a sociologist at Rutgers University, says, we have only ourselves to blame. This isn't a command performance, she says. If people didn't want to buy Hallmark cards, they would not be bought, and Hallmark would go out of business. And so the celebration of Valentine's Day goes on in various ways. Many would break the bank buying jewelry and flowers for their beloveds. Others would celebrate in a sad, that single awareness day, way, dining alone and bringing on self-gifted chocolates. A few may even be spending this day the same way the early Romans did, but let's not go there. And the symbols of Valentine's Day, red roses. Red roses were said to be the favorite flower of Venus, the Roman goddess of love. Red is also the color that signifies strong feelings. Doves. Doves are symbols of loyalty and love because they mate for the life and share the care of their babies. Cupid. In Roman mythology, Cupid is the god of desire, affection, and erotic love. Today, Cupid is frequently shown shooting his bow to inspire romantic love. Valentine heart. It is unclear where the familiar heart shape originated. One possibility involves the now extinct North African plant, Cyphalium. The city-state of Siren had a lucrative trade in the plant, which looks just like the heart shape used today, though mostly used for seasoning. It is also used for birth control. Well, now, that's the origins of Valentine's Day. A bit bloody, a bit dark, and a bit muddled. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they take something bad and turn it around and try to make it good, but I used to love Valentine's Day, you know, when I was young, because, you know, you get candy and cards, and especially when you're in school, if you had a little friend, you could write, you know, and give them a card, and, you know, those little boxes of candy got the hearts in them, you can give them a heart out of there or whatever. You know, it was really fun, and it still was fun to me when I got older, you know, in relationships, you know, because I'm not the one who always expects something from my mate, because I believe in giving as well. And the guy
sorry.
That I... Huh?
I said sorry.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I believe in giving as well, because I sent this one guy we was in, like, in a relationship, the guy Blade, who I spoke about in my book of Delicious Erotic Show Stories. I sent him flowers and a card, and, you know, it just made me feel so good, because I sent it to his job, and he was saying how everybody was saying it was so beautiful, and they couldn't believe it, and, you know, he sent me flowers too, but it's just the point of that's how I was feeling at that particular time. But to me, every day is Valentine's Day, because when you're in love with somebody, it doesn't have to be that special day that comes around when you're rushing out trying to get this and trying to get that, and then you get something, your partner's disappointed or you're disappointed. You know, I just believe that now Valentine's Day is every day, and I can tell my boyfriend that I love him every day, you know. And what we're doing for Valentine's Day, that's what we're doing. You know, so what do you think of the origins of Valentine's Day? Or do you have a little Valentine's story you'd like to tell? Either one of you can go first.
Well, I knew it was dark. I had read it once before. Mm-hmm. And part about the beating of, you know, is what stood out in my head.
Uh-huh.
I kind of remembered that from my teens, and I think that came when we were studying some, like, Greek mythology or something like that.
Right.
So I kind of remembered that, but coming up as a child, I didn't necessarily care for it, because it was, you were forced to be picked,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And singled out and things like that. And as an adult, I never really understood. Okay, I always celebrated it for my children. I would
uh-huh.
give times, and I would do things like that for them, so
right.
that they could never say that they would never, if they were not one of the chosen ones.
Uh-huh.
So you can, coming up, I was not always the chosen one.
Right.
So if they weren't one of the chosen ones, they still had a Valentine. So I always celebrated it for them. But me as an adult, I always thought, could never understand why it was for lovers, because if you were a lover, you celebrate every day anyway.
Right.
So that just never resonated with me. Then when I became a conscious adult, the commercialization of it, just like the commercialization of Christmas, just killed everything that could have possibly, you know, made that a good day.
Right. Like, that's I think that's the whole princess of it, too. When it was so commercialized until it just takes everything from it. And then, like you had mentioned, Valentine's Day, you know, they set aside, you know, saying just for lovers, when it should be a day of love, opposed to just being a day for love. If they're going to, you know, do it like that, it should just be, you know, a day of love. But you know how society is and how things change through the years, because just like it was back then, you know, they're skinning the goat and the dog and beating women with it, and, you know, they're thinking that's going to cause them to be fertile. And somewhere on this earth, I believe that may still be even happening.
Oh, yeah.
Probably so.
It
you know?
Sounds like it probably still is, depending on where it comes from. Like, they probably still do the same tradition. You know, some people keep up with the same tradition. I think it's crazy. But.
Right. Right. That it happened. Well, it started in Rome, and then, you know, they killed these two guys named Valentines in different years. And I'm wondering why they chose, you know, the Valentine thing. You know, that seems kind of funny as well.
Well, you know, I'm from Chicago, so Valentine's Day also can take on another turn for even here, because that was when they did that St. Valentine's Day massacre.
Right.
And to be there and to actually visit the spot where they did that at and things such as that, plus I used to have a fascination with the history of gangsters and stuff such as that. And I'm talking about the real, I'm talking about Capone and
right.
the stuff. But we never found that, to me it was just, there could be a lot of meanness that came out of that. You know, people go out of their way to make somebody feel bad. The popular girls really kind of rubbed. It was never a pleasant holiday for me. And sometimes, well, I know my mother tried. My mother tried to hold me for 4 days.
Oh wow!
Was it another child born on a holiday?
Mhm.
And I know a couple of people who got married. Like, I attended a couple of weddings on Valentine's Day, and I thought that was just lovely. You know, it just added that other layer to that marriage or that union or whatever. But in general, it really didn't mean nothing to me other than the fact that the next day or that weekend, chocolate was going on sale and I could get some.
Right, because right, the day after everything goes on sale, you can get everything. And that's what I generally do after a special holiday when they have all the stuff that's sky high, you know, a few days before that because they're trying to get their money. But the day after, you can get it for 50% off, 60%, and sometimes even 75% off, you know.
Yep.
So that's what I do because I'm not really into the celebrating of Valentine's Day like I used to, you know, because it's just It's just another day. And then the significance behind all the money that they're spending, billions of dollars. I could think of so many places that money could go. You know, I really could. And if it was left up to me, I would take that money and just get all the homeless people. Because billions of dollars now, what is it, $18 billion this year? Think of how many, it wouldn't be no homeless people on the street.
It sure wouldn't be.
You know, it wouldn't be no thing of people being hungry and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, people have their things and they do their thing. And now it's Valentine's Day. And I'm quite sure there are going to be some disappointments and there's going to be some happy people. People are going to be breaking up or people are going to make up. I think my niece is getting married tomorrow on Valentine's Day. So she'll never forget that. Yeah,
wow.
They're going to get married tomorrow. And, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's a good thing. You know, because people, everybody's different in their celebration of it. Everybody embraces it differently. You know, everybody looks at it differently. I know people are going to be, because at one point, when I used to work, and I heard some young ladies talking about, girl, I don't know what he going to get me for Valentine's Day, but I tell you this much, he better get me something that I want. That's not the attitude to take, because if he gets you anything, it's the thought that he put into getting whatever he got you.
Yeah,
you
but if he ask me what I want and then don't get it, then I'm going to have a problem.
Right, but if he doesn't ask you what you want, he's just taking it out.
Right.
He's just taking it upon himself to get you something. But, you know, then you're going to have this type of attitude, he better get me what I want. If he didn't ask you and you didn't tell him and he's not a mind reader, then I suggest you take whatever he gets you and be grateful and thankful. And then maybe next Valentine's Day, you know, the guys, y'all need to sit down and say, well, look, this is what I want you to give me for Valentine's Day, and I'm going to get this for you. What do you want? You know, do it like that, opposed to, because of that can cause even a rift in a relationship. You know, because some women get so angry and just from the top of their head, they just blowing off steam and not really meaning what they're saying. But, you know, sometimes guys take it like, oh, okay, so if you want to act like that, I'm out of here. I'm gone. You know, so take Valentine's Day and, you know, however you celebrate it, be careful, because it's not really a good time for some people, and for other people, it is a good time, you know. So what did you, are you getting anything? Are you getting your guy anything for Valentine's Day, Nawana? I mean, Danny, I'm sorry, huh?
Ooh, I'm getting, no, I'm single, honey. I'm not giving anybody anything. The only person I'm treating is my parents.
Oh, okay.
We treated our parents, me and my sister treated our parents to Spirit of Philadelphia as a boat ride, dinner, boat ride.
Right, I've been on that boat.
Yeah, my dad's birthday is the following week. So that's happy birthday, Merry Christmas, and Happy Valentine's Day. All at the same day and time. So,
well,
you know, like they said, it's other, you know, it's not always about the significant other, especially if you don't have
one. Right, that is true. That's
what about family or yourself, so.
Right, right. And it should be, you know, love day opposed to lovers because, you know, some people are not even in relationships, but you have a parent, so you may have a sister or, you know, an aunt or somebody who, you know, you're very fond of. And you
right.
could, you know, do something for them.
Well,
now,
how about you, Ms. Gail? You got something for your boyfriend?
Sure, myself.
Oh, I know that's right. That's the best boyfriend to have. Rhea, what you doing
yeah.
over there?
Well, normally I would be spending the evening with my Valentine because she always made that happen, and that's my 25-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But she's on a plane en route to Tel Aviv right now.
Wow.
It'll just be me, but she turned her keys over to me. So that's why, as you can see, Gail, I'm in a chat room for a change. Because
right.
I at her place, so I got the big TV and I got the internet. And she loaded the freezer and refrigerator with my favorite foods.
Wow.
She wants me, told me to use this time to OD on the cable, because I ain't paying for no TV. I don't pay for cable.
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
That was a nice little gift that she gave you then for Valentine's
Day. So what are y'all
Day.
Ladies doing tomorrow? Do y'all ladies have plans with other kids or by yourself, or you're not really into celebrating it tomorrow, or it's just a normal day to y'all?
Well, it's really a normal day for me, for real, because I like I said, I'm not into, you know, celebrating that because I just have love for everybody, you know. Like I said, my boyfriend, he knows I love him every day. He loves me every day. So I'm not tripping off of that. And
right.
I don't know, you know, what everybody else is going to do. I don't know. My daughter, she generally does big things for her girlfriend, but you know, I haven't planned anything. I really haven't planned anything because it's just another day to me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And if they would give me at least one of those billions that they're gonna spend at the store, I'd really be happy. Just one of them.
Even if my sons thought about it, they wouldn't think about it no more after what they laid out this past weekend.
Wow. Yeah, it, you know, it could be, because I think back on the times when I, you know, was in a relationship and celebrating Valentine's Day, how I would cook a nice meal and have candles on the table and, you know, music playing, and then we would take, you know, either get in a bathtub, jacuzzi, and, you know, just have fun in there, and then rose petals from the bathroom to the bedroom on the bed, and, you know, just have a good time like that. You know, that's you know, in the past, but, you know, it's, you know, it's in my memory, and I'm not really, like, missing anything because been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, been there, done that. So I'm going to play a song, you know, simply for the Valentine's little thing. I'm going to play a little song every few seconds. I mean, you know, maybe about 2-3 songs before we get to our next topic. But when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Valentine's Day.
I do love you. forever. Gonna let you go, my little love. Pretty little baby, I said I want you to try to understand that I want you to be.
Thomas, I've Fallen in Love, and before that was Billy Stewart, I Do Love You. I think those are nice, appropriate songs for lovers or somebody falling in love or, you know. We're going to play a game, and the game is if we were in relationships, and our boyfriends were millionaires, what would you want your Valentine's Day to be? Like, who wants to go first and play fair? This is just a game.
You said play fair. What do you mean play fair?
I mean, okay, you have a millionaire boyfriend and it's Valentine's Day. How would you want your Valentine's Day to go for the two of you?
All right, well, I guess I'll start first.
Okay.
Okay. I've never been to an island, so I think that I would love to for it to be an island, just us. Like, I don't know, like I watch TV a lot, of course, and a lot of movies, but it'd be like little islands, like I guess your little private houses and like you can rent out a cabin or, you know, a house out there or stuff like that. So I would take a nice little island. It really don't matter. I heard St. Thomas is nice. So it would just be us two. I would take a 2 days. I would take a 2-day trip. As far as me, for him, I would probably pamper him and, you know, I would want a chef to come in and pamper us on this day. Like if it was this, you know, Valentine's Day itself, I would want for us to be pampered, like his and her spa. We both go shopping and just, you know, both of us be treated on that day. Then the next day, I would probably, you know, depending on, especially because if he's a millionaire, he probably can give me any gift and everything that I ask for.
Right.
So I would use the next day for his day. I would make Valentine's Day the next day for him. You know, treat him well with gifts. Of course, it'd probably be his money I'm going to spend it back on, but regardless, give him some gifts, make him feel good. At least I thought about him. I don't care who money it is. It's your money,
right.
My money. So I would probably do that. To me, that would be nice. Like, I would love to experience, you know, a jet flight out there. Private jet for me and him, just, you know, something intimate with just me and him, not so much around a lot of folks and all that, just something intimate with just me and him, maybe a chef and, you know, a couple of people that's going to wait on us, and that's about it for those 2 days in the island somewhere, just beautiful, just me, him, and that's it for me. That will be well endowed for me.
That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. That's almost some of the things I had thought of, but we're going to let Rhea tell us what she would do, then I'll go.
Why I laughed, because when you mentioned island, we would go to Hawaii. That's one of my, realistic travels.
Mm-hmm.
We would have left today, this evening, and woke up in Hawaii tomorrow morning, and it would have just been that time with us and all that luscious greenery, frolicking and the water and just seeing something new and being in that tropical atmosphere away from Chicago and just being all into each other. I'm really simple. I like room service. Because I ain't got to cook it, I guess. I like cuddling and just walking and holding the hands and being on the beach. And like I said, I want to see Hawaii, so that would have been my ideal spot. And that and women. And now that Southwest flies there, I would have got points too, so probably would have made my last trip that I needed to make my free ticket.
Wow. So that's it?
That's it. Well, okay. I guess I wouldn't lay out an itinerary or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to unfold however it's unfolding, but the total attention that we're extending during that time would be on each other.
Right. Okay, well, me and my man, he has a yacht. So what we're going to do, we're going to get on that yacht, and we're going to sail to Tahiti. He also owns an island over there. So we're going to be on our own little private island, and I'm going to service him for that first day. That next day is going to be my day. We're going to be gone a week. We're going to be gone a whole week. Then we leave Tahiti. We're going to probably sail to Rio, stay there for maybe a couple of days. Then we're going to leave Rio and, start heading back this way. But during that time, we're going to be on the boat, on the yacht, because it's all kind of things on that yacht. It's a swimming pool on there, kitchen. I mean, this is a big yacht that my man has, because he got it like that. We're just going to be into each other. You know, I'm going to be cooking for him. He's going to be cooking for me. I'm going to give him a holistic massage. He's going to give me one. We're going to talk. We're going to laugh. We're just going to be, you know, into each other. And when we get back to civilization, because we was out there alone, just the two of us on that big yacht and on those islands. And when we get back, we're gonna go shopping. He's gonna take me shopping, and I'm gonna get, you know, whatever it is I want. He's gonna get whatever he wants. And that night we may go out on a town and, you know, wind it up, probably back at our mansion, and probably invite some people over when we get back and just have like a, you know, a great big party. And that's basically how I would handle it if I was rich, if my man was a millionaire. So I think that's, and I'm just, you know, thinking that some of these millionaires, they're going to be doing things like that because they can. You know, but it's not always about the big things that you do. Sometimes the little things are really what matters, because if he just would call me and say, you know, I just called to say I love you. I just called to see, you know, how you're doing today. How'd your day go at work? Or do you need me to bring anything over there for you to eat? Or do you want me to bring you something to drink? You know, the little things really, you know, touch me.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, like if he was rich, we would do, you know, the big things.
Right.
Yeah. But that was just a little, you know, a little game of what would you do if you're...
But what if he was broke? What would y'all do?
Well, if he, like I said now, if he's broke, but he can't be, but so broke, but, you know, if it was a thing where, you know, both of us are working, he has a job, I have a job, and, you know, we wanted to do something, we first of all would plan something out, because to wait till the last minute to do anything, you know, might not be too good. So maybe a couple of weeks ago we may have said, well, February the 14th, we're going to do this. We're going to take a little day trip. You know, we're going to go to so-and-so, and we're going to stay, you know, the rest of the week, and we're going to do this, that, or whatever. Of course, we're going to, you know, have to have money aside for that and just do exactly what's within our budget.
Yeah.
You know, that's how that should be handled, because when you start doing things and spending money unnecessarily, then the next thing you know, you broke and you don't have money to get back and forth to work for that next week, then, you know, that's crazy. I'm not the type that's going to go that way out, because it's always tomorrow. People just be living like for that one day, and the next day they're borrowing money to get back and forth to work. But, yeah, that's what would happen. And what
okay,
would you
question.
Do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, I don't know, honey. No, mm-mm. You better not be broke on that day, especially mm-hmm. We both work. He had better set aside something for that day.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it's because y'all two are a little older than me, and y'all been there, done this, so y'all can school the young child.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know, what is Valentine's Day, like, our, you know, my generation, we take every holiday and make it something. You know, us females, we take every holiday and make it so all about us. And I understand about being vice versa and, you know, spoiling him to at that day. But... Mm-hmm. Y'all seem so been there, done it, and it doesn't really bother you. When will I get to that point? Am I making a big fuss out of nothing? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I hear every one of y'all when y'all said that
it's every day is Valentine's Day. And that might be true. You know, every day he might throw something in and, you know, whatever. But is it sad that I might want a little bit extra or want to be over the top for that day? I'm not speaking like a birthday or anniversary, but I'm saying for Valentine's Day. Like, he knew Valentine's Day is February 14th. And you asked me what do I want, and I might have hinted, and I told you, and we already talked about it. So it was never like yes, no, but, I mean.
Well, like I had explained, everybody is different. People, you know, embrace it, and some people don't. Now, as far as me, I've been there, done that. I've had, you know, the Valentine's days, the good ones, and I've had the ones where I was, you know, alone by myself. But I've learned that. It's just basically another day. And it's, you know, like it's been so commercialized, like, you know, all the florists, they're going to sell out of flowers. All the stores are going to sell out of chocolates. They're going to be, it's one item that's always going to sell out just because it's Valentine's Day. And you already heard it's going to be $18.6 billion holiday this particular year, you know. So I can't, I'm not going to invest all my money in Valentine's Day when tomorrow I may not have any money to buy me something to eat. You see what I'm saying? When I spent all my money on Valentine's Day. But it's nothing wrong if a person, you know, because, you know, like when I was into it, I mean, it was really good because, like I said, I bought the guy who I was with at that particular time, I bought him flowers and, you know, we went out and, you know, it was really good. It's a good thing, but to me, it's just like every day, and it shouldn't be for lovers only, you know, Valentine's Day, lovers only. It should be, if it is, it should be a day of love when you could just, you know, walk down the street and tell somebody that I love you. You know, today this is Valentine's Day, or you give somebody a hug and, you know, you tell somebody something nice. You know, those are the things that, you know, it should be, but I don't have any control over it, what it is. But, you know, like I said, then, you know, once you get to a certain point, because some people even get disappointed in it, and they're young people because of the simple fact they don't communicate with their lovers or their boyfriends or whatever, and he's giving them something that he think is okay. He's giving it from his heart, but she's expecting something else. If you want whatever you want, you ask your partner for it, and if they'll tell you then and there if they can get it. And if they get it, that's good. If they don't, then, you know, there's no need in you getting mad because you've been with him all year. Then Valentine's Day comes, he can't give you what you want. Then you're going to get mad, and the relationship's going to come to an end. On Valentine's Day, it's supposed to be a day of couples loving each other, quote, unquote. But, you know, I'm just not into it like I, you know, used to be, you know, because I just, it's just another day to me, you know. But, you know, people who celebrated, and, you know, I'm happy for them, and, you know, hopefully, you know, because like I said, my niece is getting married, you know, on Valentine's Day. I guess that's a commemoration for her doing it on Valentine's Day because her and her fiance, they are in love, and, you know, so they want to do it on this day. Then you got people who are breaking up on this day, and, you know, so you just have to, whatever floats a person's boat, that's what they, you know, should do. You know, don't, just because I said what I do, you know, you can't do what I do, because what I eat don't make you fat.
Rhea, you know, I like picking your brain. I like picking Rhea's brain because Rhea just gives me straight to the point. She holds no punches, and she don't care how you feel. You know, Delicious, you does the same thing, but you be trying to borderline. You try to make everybody happy at the same time. Rhea, she don't even care. She just say what she got to say. So because of that, Rhea, should I be upset if I don't get a gift because I'm a side joint? Because I'm the other woman, should I be upset if I don't get it?
Hell no, you shouldn't be the other woman.
Wait a minute, hold up, excuse me. You let me say that you said you're the other woman?
Yes, if I'm the other woman. And I mean, I'm the other one. I ain't talking about no brand new, just, and when I mean other woman, I'm not regardless, it's still the other woman. Yes, he's married, whatever the case may be. But I'm saying the other woman put in time. I ain't talking about no, he just come over and F me and that's it. No,
right.
I'm talking about put in time and we've been maybe, I'll give you a year or two.
Uh-huh.
And at putting in time, he spends the night out. I don't know what to tell his wife. That's his business. I don't care. But I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm thinking, should I, being the other woman, what because y'all older than I am, and it does not have to be me. I'm not talking about me. I'm just generally speaking for my age group. Because
okay.
There's a lot of us that does that. What advice would y'all give us? Like, I think, and I ain't saying y'all been there, done it, but I'm just saying y'all older. Y'all can help us. Y'all
right,
give us some wisdom. So give me some wisdom because
being
I think
the other
that
woman.
Being the
I
other
think,
woman, I think I should get a gift. I'm,
well,
I'm
I, think, I think I want to go with this one. Red, you can go behind me, but being the other woman now.
Mm-hmm.
Being the other woman is, you know, being the other woman. And really, women who are the other women, they get sort of mostly, well, depending on how the relationship is with him and his wife. I don't know, you know, what the relationship is with him and his wife, but if it's just a thing, he's, you know, he's still living with her, he's still making love to her, and then he sees you, he spends time with you, because sometimes women know. Sometimes women know when their man is seeing somebody else. And she may be subtle with it. She might accept it because maybe he's taking care of home. He's paying the bills. He's doing this and that. So she's going to accept that. You see what I'm saying? But in order for you to even expect anything, no, let me back that up. Really, I don't think that you should expect anything because if he gives you anything, then you can know exactly where he's coming from. But if you're expecting something from him, I would suggest not to expect anything because, see, that can cause some bad feelings right there. You know, you're expecting him to give you something because he put time in. He also put time. He has a wife. So you also have to respect that. And then the fact of the matter is, if he wants to give you something, he will. And if he doesn't, I mean, you just got to go with the flow because you're already accepting him and knowing that he's married.
Right.
So you really can't expect but whatever you get out of that. Because I've never, I was involved with the married man, but it wasn't by choice. And, you know, I just, and I've been in relationships with guys who had girlfriends. You know, and I guess I was the side piece or whatever, the other woman. But, you know, I've never really expected anything from them, you know, even though they did do things for me, you know. But
right.
I just, you know, think that you know, whatever he gives you, and if he don't, he don't. But I really, now this is just me. However you take it, however you do it, that's on you. But I really wouldn't expect anything from him, not unless we talked about it. Or if he asked me, you know, well, what do you want me to do for you Valentine's Day? You want me to do anything for you? Then, you know, you take it from there. But just to expect him to give you something because he put time in with you and y'all been doing this for a year or whatever, you know, it's been instances where I've known friends who've been in relationships with married men for years and they haven't gave them nothing. And they go home to their wife every night. And I just was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's been involved with this marriage. She's been involved with him for the longest time, you know, but he does do things for her, you know, but he still goes home to his wife. So, you know, you just have to sort of like just, you know, just I guess, you know, just coming from me, I really don't expect, I wouldn't really expect anything. But, you know, I'm not telling you not to, you know, but that's just how I would handle
right.
it, Rhea.
Well, I don't think the other woman, the other man, the other nobody should expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually those days are spent with, if a person has a mate, spent with their mate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with my particular, you know, feelings in regard to that. That's just the way it is. Usually, see, if you get that other person that is expecting something, they also expecting more out of that that relationship than what they're getting. And 9 times out of 10, they don't get it. Yeah, every now and then, she gets that man, and then 9 times out of 10, she becomes a damn maniac because she feels as though she's going to lose that man the same way she got that man.
Mm-hmm.
So, breathe. We'll end up running him away anyway, but no, I don't think the other woman should expect anything, period. Now, in reference to that first question you asked about you expecting something, is it wrong for you to expect him to do more because of the holiday? No, it's not, but that's not an age thing. That's indicative to that person, because you have women my age who literally, he couldn't go to sleep next to her because should be afraid for his life if he didn't come home with this, that, and the other. And sometimes the more money that you may have, the bigger the gift they automatically expect, even though nowadays that line is very blurred because you can take some of the poorest people out here and everything they wear is name brand.
Yeah.
And you walk in the house and they ain't got no damn lights and no gas.
No furniture neither.
It's like everybody expects. So that's blurred too. But no, I really don't. And the interesting part is they've already confirmed that more suicides occur.
Oh wow!
Between Christmas and Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Any time of the year. And I just feel as though okay, I'm going to say this politically correct. If you allow yourself to remain in a situation such as that, then you shouldn't have any expectations. The reason I said that is because some people do lie. And sometimes you don't know that they're married until after you've gotten involved in that relationship. And the first thing people say is, well, suppose my feelings are vested. Well, I'll tell you point blank, unvest them.
Mm-hmm.
But right. It's worth it. But that's just my feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I just think that it has to be a thing of self-preservation.
Yeah.
And depends on who you are. Now, let me get, I mean, I clearly understand this. Some people don't mind being in that other position.
Right.
Some people don't mind not getting this, not getting that. And they like what they're getting or accept what they're getting and this, that, and the other. I know of several women who did things such as that, and I feel that it was a control thing. When they got tired of him, you didn't have to worry about him stalking you and having a hard time breaking up. You just threatened to call his wife, and he'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
I had a cousin that did that, and that was her reason. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play another song. When we come back, we're going to do part two of the show about your children's appropriate dress from middle school to high school. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Distant lover.
that was Brian McKnight, Distant Lover, doing a Marvin Gaye piece. Sound pretty good, too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sound pretty good. Okay, the second topic of the show is the appropriate dress for middle school to high school females. The other day, I was, where was I at? And I seen the kids getting out of school. Because most of the kids now wear uniforms. Some of them, you know, don't. But I was, I forgot where I was at, riding past the school, and the kids were getting out. And some of those girls, I mean, I don't even know if their parents even know that they come outside dressed the way that they're dressed. And having these weaves in their head, their hair dyed, and these, I mean, they just look, you know, a little bit too grown. And not to say that, you know, I wish anything bad to happen to them, but that draws attention of men who are, you know, into doing crazy, lewd, serious things to young girls. So my thing is, you know, they need to tone it down. And these young girls need to be a little bit more aware of how they're dressing and how they look, too. Because I'm quite sure some of them don't even look like they looked in the mirror when they left the house. When I was coming up, which was a million years ago.
She's just throw that in there.
They didn't have a, you know, they didn't have a dress code. And the reason why they have a dress code in some of these schools is because the clothes that they were wearing, you know, like the North Face, I think that's those coats, the North Face and those, you know, the Eddie Bauer and all those coats that was coming out and these tennis shoes, you know, other children were robbing them and taking their coats and their shoes and all that kind of stuff. So they started making the kids, you know, wear like uniforms to school. And then, you know, like I said, some of them don't. But when we was going to school, you know, we didn't have those types of problems. And you dressed appropriate. Of course, the clothes weren't nothing like they are now. Not to say that they didn't have things like they had mini skirts. But, you know, we didn't wear mini skirts to school. I've never seen anybody in school in a mini skirt. And as far as weaves, I don't remember anybody having any weaves back in the day when I was coming up. The most you would have is a wig. And, you know, maybe you might have your hair permed or something like that. But these weaves in these young girls' hair and dyeing it and wearing makeup, and it's just terrible. And I think that it's okay to, you know, when you're like in high school, maybe like the 10th and 11th and the 12th grade, to wear, you know, a little bit makeup. But some of these girls, they have the makeup caked down. And some of them look kind of, I really hate to say it, but they look kind of, real, say the word because I really don't want to say it.
Like, I know you're not talking, well, like women, like Dolly Parton said, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
Oh, mad at y'all. Going in over there.
Yeah, and the whole thing with all that is what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, you know, things can be prevented, you know, as far as like, because even the students, the young boys in school, when they see these girls, they're seeing their busts, you know, seeing them in these mini skirts, and, you know, they're getting all kind of ideas in their head, you know, because it's been a few rapes in the schools by the students to the students. You see what I'm saying? So
another side to that as a, we really look at, and we need to look more closely. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to take this off the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a bigger, no, that wasn't me.
there's a bigger thing as a society that we need to look at. Last time I made this statement, I offended some people. They're too damn bad. It's, to me, it's a shame to be putting all this damn weave in these girls' heads. It's a shame to me for these girls to be having all these false eyelashes on. A majority of the bras they make nowadays, and I don't know why the hell they chose they had to do this, are padded anyway. So if you got any size on you, your bra is going to be padded, which is going to make you look bigger anyway. And then you talk about the heels, and you talk about the dress. Now, even when I was coming up, they used to hike those skirts up. And things such as that. So that's old. We that's been around for Dovemberary. But when you have, to me, this is my opinion, when you have young girls dressing and looking older than their age, and when they're doing things to, quote, unquote, make themselves over, they don't learn that important element of self-esteem,
right,
of accepting yourself as you are. Every last one of us have flaws. Every last one of us have good things. You accent the positive and play down that other part. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
They don't learn those elements because they are, quote-unquote, always in a damn costume.
Yeah.
So they don't know what it is to accept themselves as themselves, especially all natural. Oh, what is that? And, you know, so I think we do them a disjustice. And as you, and I think that's a very big contributor to what I really, I mean, because the state of women nowadays, it's like it's gotten worse and worse and worse. You think most women can't even compliment another woman. Damn, she thinks she's looking good. No, sweetie, you think she's looking good. That's why you just said that. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get on the bus, you look up, and they tuning their damn face up at you. You ain't never seen these women before. Don't know nothing about these women, and they do. It's like, really? And I think that's where a lot of that is coming from. Plus that whole competition for men, you know, and this, that, and the other. But I think that adds a whole lot to it. And it goes back to what I said before. Meaning all these people got to have on, you know, people, a good 80% of people that exist nowadays got to have on all this designer stuff and this, that, and the other. And some of them don't even have lights and food at home. But guess what? They got a Louis Vuitton.
Right. And there's some of these parents who are actually spending their last dollar to buy them, you know, all these designer things. I think that's crazy because, like you said, it teaches them no self-worth. And also it makes them, once you take all that from them, then that's when you have problems because a lot of people, they can't adjust to not having certain things. And some of them actually will kill themselves, you know. So you have to be very careful in how you bring your children up, how you show them this, distill values in them and let them know that, hey, designer clothes, because when I was coming up, they had designer stuff out, Jordache, you know, stuff like that. But I don't think that I'm not going to say I never wore any designer things, but I never sacrificed anything to get any designer clothes because I could go to Morton's or McBride's or, you know, any of the other little stores that sold just as, you know, well things they sold at Lord & Taylor's or, you know, a store like that. Or even some of the thrift shops. You know, you can go to a thrift store and, you know, get some pretty good things. But, you know, just to always dress your child in designer this, and they don't even know. These little kids wearing Jordans and all this kind of, they don't know what that is. But if you teach them that while they're young, that's all they're going to be looking for. And as soon as they can get it, they're going to be standing over you one night with a knife or, you know, cursing you out, you know, and getting in the store acting like somebody crazy, screaming and hollering, I want it, you know. So parents need to be a little bit more conscious when think, they.
Go ahead, Danny.
I think that, I don't know, from, I guess, when I was growing up, of course, and, you know, I was always taught, you do as I say, not what I do. So if I say you're going to wear this, you're going to wear this. And even in middle school and high school, you know, we change our clothes and we cut up and we act crazy. We might have wore pants and, you know, a nice little skirt and a nice blouse to school. And then we got to school, we put on them tight jeans and stuff like that. So I think every child, you know, in middle school and high school always did something like that. But now I think it's so hard to be a parent because now there's so many rules telling you how to raise your kids. Because even when I was growing up, you was a lot of hits. Because I even tried to call, I called the people on my mama, and I was in middle school. And the lady came to my house, and she came, and my mama told her, when you leave, I'm going to beat her again. And you know them people ain't never come back? Now, if you do that now, it's totally different. It's like you got a case, and the police is even telling you, okay, well, if you put your hands on them, we got to lock you up, and da-da-da. Like, I think it's so harder now for people to even parent their kids because it's so many rules and regulations where it wasn't back when I was growing up where you was allowed to get a P and your mama was allowed to come up to the school and grab you and shake you to death and send you right back in class after she said what she needed to say. She shook you, slapped you, beat you, and sent you right back in there and told you you better not cry and shut up and go back in there. And everybody knew you got a butt whooping, got yelled at. But now it's, like, so hard to do it. And then nowadays you got kids having kids. So it's like, who are you really parenting? Like, I always say, like, all the Medeas and all the, you know, the mamas, they're gone. Like, all the great-grandmoms and the, you know, big mamas, they're gone. They you know, they're dying off and they're older now. And
And then, like you mentioned, the kids are having kids. And you know, that's not good. But when I was coming up, the teachers, because I went to Catholic school as well as public school. In Catholic school, the nuns or lay teacher was allowed to beat you.
Yep.
And I had an aunt. I had an aunt. She would beat anybody's child in the neighborhood, and the parents wouldn't say a word about it because that's just how it was back in the day. And my mother, the neighbors, if we did something, they beat us, and they told my mother, we get another beating. You see what I'm saying? But these kids now, they are arming themselves. They are cursing their parents out. They show no respect because a lot of these parents have become these children's friends. And you cannot be your child's friend and expect them to respect you and treat you like a parent. You know, a lot of these parents are going to the clubs with their daughters and, you know,
getting
doing a lot of
them.
Things, getting high with them and, you know, just doing things that are, you know, not a normal relationship, mother and daughter relationship. And then they be on Maury Povich crying, my daughter don't respect me, she fight me. Well, maybe if you wasn't letting your daughter do the things that she was doing coming up, because a lot of these things stem when children are little. They just don't turn that way overnight. That's not an overnight process. Because they think that things that they did was so cute when they was cursing. They thought that was cute. They thought it was cute when they did this and that. But then soon as they turned against them, they crying and they can't understand why they need help and all this whole kind of stuff. So you need to get a hold of your children when they are young. Stop thinking everything is so cute that they do. Even though things that kids do is cute. You know, you see some of these kids on the internet shaking their butt. Some of them kids be dancing. And I used to get dance back in the day, and I can say they dance better than what I could back in the day. So, and then
how
some of them don't even know their ABCs.
Right.
Don't even know their ABCs, but they can rap, they can curse, they can dance, but you ask them how much is one and one, or what's your ABCs. They don't know that. So you need to instill moral values and good values into your kids and all that dancing and rapping and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's cute, but let them get the first things first, and that's the education. You know, because it was a video on there, these parents, the little child was cursing, and they was just laughing.
Uh-huh,
you know, like it was so cute. But see, ain't nothing cute like when the child go to school and start cursing at the teacher because they had a little boy and he was on 60 Minutes, and he was two or three years old, cursed like a sailor, And the parents, he been put out of every daycare that he was ever in. And the parents said, well, we don't understand where he got that from because we let him watch television. Well, television curses, you know, especially the cable channels, they use every curse word. Now, on regular television, they may use the B word, ass, and, you know, stuff like that. But on cable, you can hear the MF, all that goes on on there. So what was they letting him watch on television? You know, you can't let the television be your babysitter neither. You know, even some of these cartoons are violent.
Right. Did y'all have problems with your kids in middle school? Did any of your kids give y'all a hard time? Or how did you, if they did, what was your reaction? Like, how did you handle that? Or was it, you know, because some parents is like, if they get a job, they can wear what they want to wear. Some people, were you like that? Were y'all like that with your kids? So how?
Oh, hell no.
No. No, what had happened with me, my kids, they got the clothes that I could afford, which was from Morton's and McBride, and that was a store that used to, well, they're not in existence anymore, but they had problems. They wanted their name brand stuff because their little friends had it. So I told them, I said, well, you know, you're not going to school to be a model. You're going to school to learn, so you're going to wear what it is that I buy for you. So my daughter, when she got her first summer job, she saved up her money, and plus she, you know, made good tips because she worked at a soda fountain for Peoples. Well, it used to be Peoples, CVS, and she made good tips, so she saved up her money, and she bought her and her brother their little name brand stuff, whatever they wanted, you know, along with what I had bought. But I just couldn't afford it. Even if I could afford it, I'm not into all that stuff. You know, I'm not into, okay, the Jordans came out today, so I'm a guy running, stand in line for 5 or 6 hours, getting a fight with somebody, get shot at, stabbed, and all this kind of stuff, get a pair of Jordans. You know, so.
Well, I couldn't afford it. Even if I could, it still wouldn't have meant nothing to me, because I tell you
right,
the same thing I told man, unless your name is on it, and you making money off of it and promoting you, what the hell would I spend my money on that for?
And then
and some of them are not as, the quality of some of that is no better than those jeans that I'm getting from Sears. So I don't even want to hear about that part of it. They got theirs from their aunt. One of my sisters, my youngest sister, she would deck them out from head to toe. And their starter jackets, their Air Jordans, and this, that, and the other. So what they got from her. But I never did that. And then when they did get jobs, they bought themselves little things here and there. But man was very good about being frugal with their money. And that's when they learned about the flea markets and how you can go to the flea market.
Right.
And get those name brand things for like $20, $30 when they normally $120 and stuff like that. But I have one child who every damn thing he has on got to have somebody else's name on it. He ain't no child, he's a man now.
Right.
And I just sit back and I look at him sometimes and I shake my head, especially with these gym shoes. Lord knows that man must own 70 pair of gym shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like I just sit back and I look at that sometimes. Man, I can't talk because I own a lot of shoes. I just don't pay a lot of money for my shoes.
Right.
And then, you know, I get the cheap shoes and get them in every color.
I know, that's right.
I get what I like. Catch them on sale and get them in every color and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I never was a proponent of that, and I never supported that whole ideal. I sit back and I look at them now, and they look at me sometimes, and I say, yeah, y'all paying all these money for what y'all calling Chuck Taylors. Those are Converse, and those were $5 when I was growing up.
Yeah, I remember
those
they were $10 or $12 when I was growing up. Mm-hmm.
Those were the teak gym shoes.
Everybody had a pair of Chuck Taylors. But, you know,
it's
a lot of these.
It's hard now to try to do that. Like, it's hard now because a lot of these people start as these kids are babies. They start buying them. You know, the Air Jordans and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell a child, you know, that child ain't going to understand. Like, mommy ain't getting got it now. And, yeah, I don't know. I see some of these people, like, really, when I see people go through it, I mean, people go through it. I see people, it's illegal, but you do what you want to do. But I see people sell. They stand. Yeah. They do whatever.
But you know what?
Keep up.
A lot of these name brand things are being made by little children and people in sweatshops overseas, and they're making pennies, not even pennies, because some of them are held captive and just work them to death, you know. And I think that's a shame. They send that stuff over here and sell it for an arm and a leg, and they're not getting anything, you know. So that's another thing that bothers me about those designer things. You know, it's terrible. You know, and as far as, like, you know, us, you know, disciplining our children, I wish if I even could read my kids' mind and they had that on their mind, I would beat them just for thinking about doing something like that. Because you know, how in the world are you going to call the police on me when you're living in my house? I'm feeding you and clothing you, and you're going to call the police and tell them I beat you? You know what? When that police came, you'd be leaving with him.
Baby, my mama beat me on the arm with a brush. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And told me, don't be thinking at her in that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I done heard it all. Now, my brother called the police on my mama. And when the police came to the door, he tried to reprimand my mom and tell my mama what she can do. And my mom said, okay, you can go downstairs to your car, but don't leave. And he said, why? He said, because when I close this door, I'm going to kill this motherfucker, and you're going to have to come right back in here and get me. Wait a minute. The police looked at my mother. It was a black cop and a white cop, right? The police looked at my mother. The black cop put his hand in front of the white cop, moved him out the way, and said, let me handle it. He said, hey, man, go get your shoes. Let's go. They took my brother out the house, took him and got him some ice cream, sat downstairs and talked to him. Then they knocked on the door, and the white cop stayed in the car. And he said, now can he come back in here? She said, he's going to act like he got some sense. Otherwise, y'all will be getting another call. She said, he told her, and the next time he dialed my phone, he won't have no fingers left. And I was sitting there like, Mom, you can't talk to police like that. My mother gave me that look. I shut up real quick. No, sweetie, she told me, I'm going to kill it. M-M-F. And when she said I'm like, I just knew all things. My brother didn't call. My brother made his little idle threats, but he didn't make no phone calls from my mama's house no more.
I know, that's right. You know, you just got to, and that, you know, that started, I can't remember what year it started, but this little white girl's parents was growing marijuana in the house or something, and she had called the police and reported them. Now, I don't know if that started from that, but I do remember that's the first time I ever heard of a child calling the police on their parents, because when I had gotten into some trouble with the police, they was trying to, you know, get information from my kids.
Right.
They told them, they said, we don't know nothing.
and
you know, I wouldn't, you know, if there's something, you know, I don't think I could, you know, especially if it's not something serious. You see what I'm saying? But if it was something serious, like maybe murder or something like that, then I would have to, you know, probably tell. But for something that's not serious, I don't think I would even have that conversation with the police, because that's their job. You find it out for yourself. Are you going to pay me or what's up? You know. But these kids nowadays, they killing their parents and calling the police on their parents and, you know, just crazy stuff. This world is just so crazy. It used to be at one point it took a village to raise a child, you know, and that village worked together, you know, because like I said, coming up, my aunt, she would beat anybody's child in the neighborhood. They was doing something, they go home and tell their mother. They ain't say nothing to my aunt, but thank her. You know, and nowadays you have somebody's kid, they ready to shoot you, kill you, curse you out, call you all kind of names, and their child is wrong, and you don't bring your child. I think it was this video on, I forgot what was it on, World Star Hip Hop. Anyway, these two girls was in a store. They had their little kids with them. And I don't know what had happened in the store, but the security guard had put them out of the store, and she was screaming and hollering at him, calling him all kind of, then the kids called him all kind of names. You don't want your children to be involved in things like that.
No.
Because right. somebody, you know, might see your kids somewhere and slap the crap out of them.
Not just that. You have, you. One of the things that I've never, ever, is, I mean, even when I was little, never was a proponent of, you don't go off, for example, on a teacher in front of a kid.
No, you don't.
If
you don't do any of those
wrong,
types of things in front
you
of your
send
kid, because that gives
exactly.
them the impression it's right.
That is right. You send that kid out of the room. Now, my method was this, because I had a strict rule with mine. I'm the best weapon you got against anybody in this world. I'm
mm-hmm.
called mother. God gave me that right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But once you lie to me, all bets are off.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm defending something that's not real.
Right.
So when my kids got in trouble, they would have my kids sitting somewhere, and I would say, I need my child in here. And they would come in the room, and I looked them dead in the face and asked them, what you do? And they tell the whole story.
Uh-huh.
So then I would turn around, and I would look at the teacher. I said, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
And 9 times out of 10, they got it. They told exactly what it is. The teacher would say, yes, I would send them out of the room. And I would say, okay, you're addressing this with him. Where's the other child at?
Mm-hmm.
And I almost always got the same answer. Well, I've contacted his parents. They're not going to do anything about it. But yet you're going to reprimand man when they're involved in this thing together. It don't
right.
work like that.
Right.
It doesn't.
Both of the children should be there.
Exactly. It don't work like that.
And both
and they,
parents.
They do it all the time because they say, well, you're going to do something about it. I say, yeah, but if that child was messing with him and he start fighting your class, then you're really going to be mad, aren't you? I said, either we're going to rectify it or we can't. I said, now, I'm going to get on my child, definitely. But usually the teacher didn't see everything that happened. She would see part of it. Like, there was this really big thing, and it was a huge blow up, that got so bad that the principal stepped in between me and the teacher
mm-hmm.
because she saw my child hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not see that child smack my child upside the head with his social study book
mm-hmm.
before he hit him. And so she went and she grabbed my child, and she stuck her nails in my child's arm when mm. she grabbed my child. Okay, fine. So when I went up to the school and I was talking to her, she said, well, I would have never put my hands on him had he not been doing something. And I said, okay. And so I went and I got one of the social study books out the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was in one of my moods. And, yes, I was going to knock upside her damn head with it.
Mm.
And ask her, so if this principal grabbed me and hurt me, is it because of that this happened? And the whole class told her what had happened. But she didn't like my child because my child had a mouth on her, which
mm.
was wrong. And I'm not
uh-huh.
saying that he was right, but you the adult, act like it. You know,
wow.
And she totally ignored that situation, and then it got out of hand. And 2 days later, my child whooped the hell out of that child in the middle of that classroom.
Mm.
And when she tried to suspend my child, they ended up suspending her.
Well, it was only fair because she didn't handle the situation
exactly.
correctly.
Exactly. But I just,
you know.
I just sit back. I raised man with a firm hand in this. It was on. I was a single mom, and it was. I felt like it was us against the world, but
uh-huh.
it was me against them because it was four of them and it was one of me.
Right.
And they're thinkers, so they would scheme and do things, and I would have to read body language. I had one that he couldn't laugh for the life of him, and he thought he was the best liar in the world,
uh-huh.
and he couldn't laugh for the life of him. So if I heard his story, I could kind of get a feel for it. I had one that laughed so damn good it scared the heck out of me, because I just knew that he was going to be dead before it was all done. And I just sit back and I, you know, but to like when you asked, did I have problems with man in middle school? I didn't start having problems with mine. First of all, I had no problems with that girl. She was the perfect child. When I say
mm-hmm.
perfect, she was the perfect child. Now, as an adult, she would tell you, I did my stuff, but I
mm-hmm.
picked and choose because I didn't do nothing I wasn't willing to get to pay for.
number one. So if I knew this was going to be the outcome, I'm not doing it. But them boys, once they start chasing girls,
Lord,
it was like it was all best resolved, and all of them started around that same age, 14. Every last, all three of them pierced their ears at 14. So they putting it in, I'm pulling it out. They putting it in, I'm pulling it out. I go up to the school and pull it out. They put it back in. It was like, oh my God! All of them did the same thing around that same. Those three brothers did it, you know. And then the last one just told me point blank. That's the smartest of my bunch.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mama, Terry did it at 14, Travis did it at 14, I did it at 14. You need to give it up.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. Do I hang him? Do I kill him? That's that one I tell everybody. If I could have made him disappear without going to jail, y'all would never hear his name again because he wouldn't be around.
Uh-huh. It's always one in the bunch like that. It always is. Yes, it definitely is, because I've had I have a son and a daughter, and you know, went through some things with my daughter, and some things with my son. But I think because my daughter was the oldest, you know, she basically was the one that I had disciplined the most, because my son, he basically was doing everything that she told him to do. You know, he was more or less a follower. But, yeah, you have those problems. You know, it's always one that will give you grief. But we're getting ready to come to the end of the show. And I, you know, would like to say, make a, you know, a few announcements. Antoine T. Money's book will be released by the end of the month. Because it's with the printer now, getting the proof copy, so it should be ready by the end of the month. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he'll be on the show. We'll have him on the show one Friday for an interview. Our next week's show is going to be Should child killers be charged as adults? Because there's just been so many children killing children, and they're saying this and saying that. So we're going to be discussing, should child killers be charged and tried as adults? And that's our first topic. And the second topic is going to be about strange addictions. I'm watching Strange Addiction now, and some of these things on here are really crazy. So we're going to be discussing that. And that's next Wednesday's Bringing Sexy Back. And as I always I say, if anybody has a topic that they would like to be discussed, they can email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Rhea, throw your address out there.
It's Rhea Alexis. @yahoo.com. That's RHEAALEXIS @yahoo.com.
Danny, throw yours out there.
Nawana, NAWANIAJ @yahoo.com as well.
Okay, so if you have any topics you'd like to discuss in my Friday show every first of the month, it's open topic where we have guests. And if you have a business you'd like to promote, a book or anything like that, you can hit me up at that email address as well, or Rhea, and we will have you on our Friday show. But generally our Friday show, the first of the month, is open topic. We talk about any and everything, no holds bar. The last Friday of the month is my musical show, and I rotate from slow jams to happy hours. So that's 10:30, and the Wednesday show is at 10:30, and the Friday, first Friday of the month, is at 11 p.m. This was a really good show. I appreciate everybody who came out, everybody who's listening across the net on your iPhone, iPad, or wherever you're at. Thanks for dropping in. The people who stopped in the chat room, well, he's gone. Had a guest in there and a guy who had dropped in, Nawana and Rhea. See you girls in there as well. I'm going to say good night and thank everybody again. Rhea, Nawana, you have a beautiful rest of the week. And see you guys next week.
All right. See y'all next week.
As well.
And everybody,
okay,
everybody who celebrates Valentine's Day, have a good one. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good
all
night,
right,
everybody.
Bye-bye. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.